more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved.
Here this morning. Glad to have you with us. Want to welcome those who are on all of our social media platforms. Thank you for being there. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all those things. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us there. Be sure to do all those things. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. If you're on our phone live streaming, thank you for being there also. If you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. Just go over a couple of tabs over to the info tab. It's there that you can download today's worship bulletin, as well as the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsill to my right, so be sure to get those downloaded. If you need those in person, those are here at the front, also at the sides, as well as at the doors. So be sure to grab one of those bulletins. Lots of upcoming things. We're getting ready to go into October this week. Hard to believe that we're already there. but there's a lot of upcoming things you'll want to be reminded of. Hopefully, you've either gotten your newsletter or you're getting your newsletter this coming week, and there's a lot of things that'll be in there, too, for you on the calendar. While you're under that info tab, also be sure to download the prayer list there, as there's lots of updates on the prayer list there, too. In a little while, we're going to be dismissing for Children's Church over here to my right. Brother Michael will let you know when that's going to be, but also don't forget that we've got gift bags on the sides of the stage as well as at both entrances. I want to encourage you to pick up one of those if you're a guest with us this morning. It's got some information about our church in that bag, as well as some gifts that we want to give to you to say thank you so much for being here with us this morning. If you brought somebody with you, make sure that they get one of those before they leave. And so I think that's it that I have. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good morning, all. You ready to sing? Let's sing a song. Let's say, "To God be the glory." Y'all stand and sing hymn number 4, "To God be the glory."
Amen. We want to, as we come to our missionary moment of the week, want to encourage you to look in your bulletins at Marty and Chandler and their family, who are serving the sub-Saharan African peoples. They have are leading and doing intentional discipleship there to lead church planting and multiplication in a refugee camp in the Middle East. And so we want to pray for them, for their protection, pray that God would multiply the work in the communities there as they continue to serve there. And we also want to share with you and continue to remind you of your golden offering for Tennessee Missions that we've been emphasizing this month. We have a video that we want to share with you, a brief video about the golden offering and what it goes to do in supporting disaster relief. You know of all the disaster that's happened from the hurricane, especially in East Tennessee, Northeast Tennessee, and Western North Carolina, as well as all the way down to Florida. So we want to be in prayer for all those people, but we also want to be reminded of our teams that are already there on the fields. I'll share more about that in just a moment, but watch this video if you will. Video, just a sample of some of the ministries that we do through the disaster relief there. Let me share with you one of the latest updates from our disaster relief teams. You know, of course, the things that happened there in Newport, as well as other areas, and the hurricane making landfall in Florida. Our Tennessee Baptist Mission Board Executive Director Randy Davis shared the other day that this has been a catastrophic afternoon for us here in Tennessee, as well as West Tennessee, and all the way down, as we said, to Florida. They're getting news of houses that have been lost, churches that have been lost. You'll see some of the images that you see here are from up in the Greenville area, from up in Mountain City. These are some of the pictures that we received yesterday and some that we shared on our Facebook page. This is the main road headed from Mountain City to Boone, North Carolina. Roads are completely washed out. Bridges are washed out. Lots of places are completely isolated. One of our friends who was at that place where the road was washed out, it's washed out up above him also on the main highway. These are main highways that are washed out, bridges that are washed out. And so there's no replacing that. This is at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, the church I used to pastor there. And so there are churches that are lost, there are houses that are lost, there are lives that have been lost. We have most of our disaster relief teams are in East Tennessee to begin with. So we have a lot of people who are already immediately on the field serving in those communities. A lot of Middle Tennessee and West Tennessee teams have been activated to already go and be staged for the weeks ahead. But one of the things that Brother Randy shared and others shared, this is not just going to be a one-week thing. This is going to take weeks for the work we can do. It's going to take years for the infrastructure to come back. Lots of people still don't have cell phone service, won't even have cell phone service. This is on the way from Mountain City to Boone, this little church here, Antioch Baptist. That's what it looks like now. No church. It's all completely gone. So keep those people in your prayers. Encourage you to give to the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. If you go to our church Facebook page, there is a direct link there to give through the Tennessee Baptist Convention that will go. It gives you a little thing there to choose also that'll go directly to that ministry and supporting the work there from the flooding in East Tennessee. And it's not just Tennessee. It's the North Carolina side. Asheville has been devastated over there. Waynesville, a lot of it's been wiped out. Chimney Rock, also in North Carolina, has been wiped out pretty much. So keep all those people in your prayers and keep our missionaries and our missions work through the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board in your prayers. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the blessings that you have given to us. And Lord, we pray for those missionaries that we mentioned. We pray for Marty and Chandler, who are serving the sub-Saharan African peoples. We pray for your blessings upon them. Father, we pray that you will watch over them and protect them and bless them in their ministry and help it to multiply. Lord, we pray for all of those people who have been affected from Tennessee, North Carolina, Southwest Virginia, all the way down to the Florida coast there, Lord, that have been affected by this hurricane. People who've lost their homes, lost their livelihoods, people who are still cut off from civilization, basically. And we just pray, God, that you will watch over them, protect them. Lord, use this in some way that we can be a blessing to them and that it will bring glory and honor to your name. Father, we pray through the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions that you will lead us to support that missions effort and especially the disaster relief efforts that will continue on for the days ahead. And we just pray, God, that you will just send your Holy Spirit to comfort and encourage those people, to help them to find strength in you. And we just ask, Lord, for your blessings upon them in a special way today. Be with those churches that have been lost and the homes that have been lost. Be with those who have lost family members, many, Lord, that we know that are missing. We just pray, God, that you will be with those search and rescue teams that are looking for them. Be with all the National Guard that's being called up and different ones. We just pray, God, for your protection upon everybody. Lord, we just pray that you will be with those churches today who are not meeting because of that. And we just pray, God, that you will lay a special blessing upon each and every one of them today. Lord, we pray that you'll protect those who are going out to cut trees, to help people get out of their homes. Father, we just pray for your will to be done in all those things. And we ask your blessings upon us as we come to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Just want to remind you of a couple of things real quickly here. Don't forget that you can do your offering with your offering envelopes that are there in front of you in the pews. You can also go to the church website, highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can set that up there as a one-time gift, a recurring gift, however you need to do that. So be sure to take the time to do that. Also, don't forget, if you maybe you got a call this week or you didn't get a call. If you didn't get a call and if you're just one of our guests, we want to make sure you get involved in this too. We want you to be a part of our picture directory so that people can know who you are. So you may think everybody knows who you are, but not everybody does. So be sure to sign up today. This picture is out here in this hallway. It's out here on the walls. I'll be down here right after the service to help get people signed up. I'll be back in the fellowship hall. So be sure to stay for our meal after the service. Lots of food is already back there. So if you didn't come with anything this morning, don't worry about that. There's plenty of food to eat this morning, but I encourage you to stay for that. But do get signed up for the picture directory. If you've not done that, it begins this coming weekend. So it begins this Saturday and Sunday, and then it goes for three consecutive weeks with that on Saturday and Sundays. And if you can help us with any of that that's on these forms here, be sure to fill that out and let us know today so we can get you plugged in with those things. Those who've already done that, we've got your forms, and I'll be talking to a few of you today. And then also, don't forget, if you picked up one of the backpacks, when you bring your backpack back, we want to make sure you get signed in, checked off, that you brought your backpack back. All the backpacks got taken, so thank you for that. We had 30 of those. We did 24 last year. We decided to do 30, and all those are gone. So we hope to get all those back here in a couple of more weeks, about the middle of October. We'll be letting you know plenty enough ahead of time when we need those back. But thank you so much for picking those up. If it's a possibility for us to add some more, we'll let you know that also if some of you had asked about that. We do still have some upcoming things that will happen later in November, December with the Angel Tree that we do for Head Start here in our own communities. And so you'll have another opportunity to give and to help children in our areas. So I think that's all that I had, Brother Mike.
I'm sure it'll be mentioned in the announcements later, but for those of you tonight's Sunday sing, would like to sing and play an instrument or just have a good time with us, show up tonight. But let us know if you're wanting to sing. There have been a few that have already let us know. Take your hymnals now and let's turn to 282. And y'all join the choir as we sing 282, Living for Jesus. Thank you. Children's Church will be gathering over here by the piano during this next song. And if you would, stand with us and join the choir and sing "Let Others See Jesus in You," 571.
Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're actually going to be looking at more than verse 19 through 22. We're not going to dig deep into these extra scriptures that we're going to look at, but we will at least go over them briefly as we'll get deeper into them over the weeks ahead. So I've entitled this message this morning, "The Church." I could have entitled this message "The Path to Heaven," as last week was "The Path to Hell." But I was afraid that if you do that, some people look at it as, well, this is the things you can do to get yourself to heaven. And there's nothing we can do, no works that can earn ourselves to get to heaven. And so I wanted to more focus on what it is, what is the result of it, the church, the new man in Christ, the new person in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be reading verse 19 through verse 24 in chapter 4 to begin with. So if you would, let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 19 through verse 24. "They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus.
to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer this morning, we pray, Lord, that this passage will speak your truth into our hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll use it to change and transform the hearts and lives of some individuals. Father, I pray for those who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. May they hear that you have made a way for them to be made right in their relationship with you, and that they would trust by faith in Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. Father, for others of us who we know in our hearts, we've already done that. We already know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Let this be a passage that reminds us as well as directs us, disciples us, encourages us, Lord, to put on the new man in Christ, the new creation that we are in Christ, and to get rid of the old self. And that's a work that goes on every single day in our lives until we go to heaven. So help us, Lord, to be faithful in that work, in that what we need to be doing in that, in our walk with you. So bless us this morning. May your word be powerful and alive to bring about its effect for those of us who are believers and those who need to be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So as you notice there, verse 19 was the last verse that we read there of the path to hell. When you come to verse 20 is referring back to what has previously been said, where the Apostle Paul has given us that full-length portrait of the lifestyle of an unbeliever. He talked about the path to hell and what it means to be unsaved. And so this part that we're looking at this morning goes back to that part, and then begins to build and is built around the phrases from verse 22, the old man, and verse 24, where it says the new man. So also, these verses have two verbs that we're going to look at. These two verbs are found in verse 22, that is to put off, and in verse 24, that's to put on. And so when the Bible talks about the old man and the new man, it's talking about what we used to be before Jesus Christ saved us. So if you're saved, what we used to be. If you're not saved, it's talking about what you are now. In fact, that's where you are. You're still in chapter 4, verse 17, 18, and 19. And so this part that we're going to look at this morning is referring back to what we used to be before Jesus saved us and what we are now as a born-again believer, a born-again child of God. The old person, the old creation, the old man could be described as everything we were apart from Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, Paul uses this illustration also, and he says that our old man, that person we used to be, was crucified with Jesus Christ. Here's what it says. We know that our old self was crucified with him, with Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord that as a believer, you don't have to be enslaved to sin anymore. And yet, you're going to read through some of Paul's letters where he addresses the church, he talks to Christians, and he says, why do you keep going back to that enslavement into sin? You don't have to stay there. You've been freed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on that cross, our old self, our old nature, our sinful nature with all of its sin, with all of its guilt, was nailed to that cross with Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, Romans 6 says, we also died. We were crucified with him. And that's what you call positional truth. In terms of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, our old man, our old nature was crucified. But there's also an emphasis here on a practical truth. Positionally, we're crucified, The old man died. The sinful nature is dead. You don't have to be bound and enslaved by that sin. But how do you find it? How do you find it in your life? Do you find that there are times in your life that old nature, that the old man that it talks about here, is still very much alive in your life? I dare say every one of us, including your pastor, would have to raise their hand to say, yes, at times, that is right. But notice what Paul says here in Ephesians. He says in verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Now, that conjunction that begins that verse in verse 20 ties us to those previous verses. And as we said before, if you look back at verse 17 through 19, one of the most devastating passages in the Bible on what it means to live outside of Jesus Christ. That if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's a description of your life. It's a description of what the Bible means when it says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Last week we talked about it means a mental darkness. It talks about an emotional hardness. It talks about a moral deadness. But now in verse 20, he switches right back to those who are born-again believers, and he's got a word for you. So if you're lost, as we said, without Christ, you're still in that description of verse 17, 18, and 19. But if you're saved, been born again, then verse 17, 18, and 19 is what you used to be, and you no longer should be. So in contrast, he says in verse 20 here, but that is not the way you born-again believers, you, the church, learned Jesus Christ. That's not the way you learned the Christian life. In other words, that's not what life is intended to be for you as a believer. The Christian life is to be radically different from the life of the world. One of the ways that you can check to see if you're truly born again is to see, is there any difference between you and the lost world? Do you live differently than the lost world? Not do you just think differently, but do you demonstrate it in your life? Do you live it in your life? Because think about this. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck and waddles like a duck and has feathers like a duck, what? It's got to be a duck. If a person who, even though we don't know everybody's heart, I don't know your heart, you don't know my heart, even though we don't know a person's heart, only God knows, if a person who looks like the world, acts like the world, talks like the world, does like the world, then we are driven to certain conclusions that person is probably of the world. So in verse 20, he says again, but that is not the way you learned Christ. There's a difference in the lifestyle of a born-again believer and a person who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Now understand what we're not talking about. We're not talking about church membership. We're talking about a new birth experience that changes your lifestyle, that makes you different than what you used to be. Now, here's one thing you need to keep in perspective also. There are some of you who you came to Christ when you were a child. There's not a huge, big difference like to say someone who comes to Christ as an adult, who comes maybe from an addictive background and then comes to Christ and you see this drastic change in their life. Your change is just as real in that you were lost in sin if you came to faith in Christ as a child as it is for that person who seems, from our perspective, to have gone so far in their change in their life. But your change is just as drastic because the Bible says you are dead in sin. And when you came to Christ, now you are alive in Christ. That's a drastic change that's happened in your life. So don't negate the change that has happened in your heart and your life if you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So we're talking about this new birth experience here that changes the lifestyle, changes your lifestyle, makes you different than what you used to be. We're also not talking about being perfect. We're not talking about being perfect. Did you know that there's not a single person here or in any church around this world who is perfect? The Bible reminds us over and over and over and over, there is none that is good, no, not one. The only good one, the only perfect one is Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect, sinless life. So we're not talking about blowing it from time to time. But what we are saying is that there is to be a basic difference in direction in our life. The course of your life as a believer is basically going in a different direction from the person who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In verse 21, he says, this is an interesting verse here, a rather interesting way of picturing the Christian life. He says, verse 20, he said, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Verse 21 says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So what is Paul talking about there? One of the things he's talking about here for sure is that there are those who profess with their lips to know Christ, but there is absolutely no change in their heart, no change in their life. Never has been, never will be, because they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They just say it with their words. They maybe come to church, but that's all they ever do. There's no change in their life. And so he said, that's why he's addressing it this way and saying, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So notice those words that he's using there. He's picturing the Christian life kind of like a school. You've been taught. You've learned. That statement pictures Jesus as the subject in this Christian school in verse 22 or verse 21. He's not only the subject, he's also the teacher being taught in Christ. He's also the schoolroom. So in this verse, he's picturing the Christian life as a school. Jesus is the subject, Jesus is the teacher, Jesus is the schoolroom. That's a pretty good place to get an education about the Christian life. So what is the lesson that we learn here? What is the lesson that he wants to emphasize in these verses of Scripture that we're looking at this morning? By way of contrast, he's going to show us what's taken place in our life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and how we can become more and more like Jesus Christ and less like the world in our Christian growth and our development. So the first lesson we need to learn is this. Two things that we just want to look at this morning. We need a change in our attitude. A change in attitude. So we come to that in verse 23 and verse 24. Look at those verses, if you will, again. He says, we need to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So this is crucial to this whole process. That word renewed. That word renewed is the key word in those verses. We'll talk about that later in another message about spiritual warfare that we'll get to later in the book of Ephesians and about the importance of the Bible, the importance of prayer in winning our victories over temptation in our life. So understand that the battle for success in the Christian life is either won or lost in the mind. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Here's what Paul also says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So notice the process. The old outward life, the way you used to live before Christ, that kind of description that you saw back in 17, verse 18, and verse 19, and other things that could go along with that also. That outward life, our old physical life, is perishing. But we have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Scripture says that it is to be renewed day by day. So couple what he's saying here in Ephesians with what he says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, along with what he says in Colossians 3, verse 10. Colossians 3, verse 10 is a very similar passage to the one we just read here in Ephesians, but it has a little bit of an addition here that I think will help us. He says in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, "And have put on the new self," you have put on the new self as a believer, "which is being renewed," renewed in what? "Renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So how is the spirit of your mind renewed? It's renewed in knowledge. Not just in any knowledge, not in human knowledge, but in the knowledge of the image of your creator. When you come into the Christian life, you come in with all kinds of thought patterns and all kinds of thought ideas that you've been taught over the years. Even if you come as a child, you were brought up maybe in an environment, in a home that was abusive, or maybe you were brought up in a home where you had an alcoholic father or an alcoholic mother, or maybe you've been brought up in a home that didn't have those things, but your family was just casual about. They didn't think anything about the Lord. They never went to church. They never did any of those things. When you are lost in your sin, you have certain thought processes that the way you think. You think about self more. You think about what's in this for me. What can I get out of things? What good is this for me? And it's all about me, me, me. But when you come into the Christian life, you begin to think in a different way, or at least you should. You come in with all these old ideas, all this old garbage, all this old baggage that you've been taught. Think about this. Some of you may be college graduates, and you've come into your life's work bringing with you the things that you were taught in college. Some of those things that you were taught in college are correct things. Some of those things you were taught in college are incorrect. Some of the things, there are others. Who maybe you had a different life experience. You know, it takes a Christian a period of time, to get things that are wrong out of your mind and get the things that are right into your mind, because it takes place, it begins there in the mind. Understand, there's a constant battle for your mind. There's a constant attempt to determine what you think and how you believe. Because what you think and how you believe ultimately determines how you behave. If you think there is no God, you think there is, and because of that, then you think there are no consequences for sin, that affects the way you behave. There's a constant bombardment upon all of us. Your mind is constantly being bombarded. We ought to be very careful about the things that we allow to come in to our minds. You know, we used to sing that song about be careful little hands what you touch, be careful little feet where you go, be careful little eyes what you look at, be careful little ears what you hear. We need to be careful about what we allow into our mind. We need to be renewed in our mind in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul says also over in Romans chapter 12, and verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So the way to get changed, a changed life, and to have a change, is to have a change in your thought life. The way to be changed in life is to change your thought life. Now, the word transform that Paul uses there really means to be transfigured. It means to be metamorphosized. It's the process of becoming less of what you are and becoming more of what Jesus is and what Jesus has saved you to be. So how does that take place? Well, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding," he says, "as in a glass," talking about the Bible, "the glory of the Lord," as we behold the glory of the Lord, "are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So your whole life, from the moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be looking like into a glass, into the reflection, looking into God's Word, seeing who God is. And the more you're in God's Word, the more you have God before your face, the more it transforms and changes your mind from one degree of glory to another, being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. So here's the picture. The child of God looks into the Bible. You look into the Word of God, and who do you see? You see Jesus, the Son of God. You see the Holy Spirit. You see God the Father. And you're changed by the Spirit of God, by the glory of God. And that's the first thing that has to happen. There has to be a change in your life in terms of your thought patterns. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. If you're not, then your mind is going to be debased. Your mind is going to be inclined towards sin. That's that sinful old nature. So you're not putting off the old nature. You're not putting on the new nature. You're keeping on the old, not putting it off. And so we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. You do that by getting into the Bible every day. You do that by getting rid of things that aren't right. You need to bring every thought in your mind captive to the Word of God. So think about when I'm thinking about something, when I'm making a decision, when I'm thinking about life choices and life directions, does that line up with God's Word? Because if it doesn't line up with God's Word, out that needs to go. You need to be putting things into your heart and into your mind, the Word of God. That's what he talks about later in Philippians. He talks about thinking on those things that are pure and holy, things that are lovely, things that are virtuous, things that are of good report. He says you need to be thinking on those things. And he says when you do that, you'll receive a peace in your heart, in your life, that passes all understanding. Who doesn't want that? We want peace. We want our minds to be renewed each and every day. And so you get rid of those things that are right, and you start putting in things. Get rid of things that are wrong, put in the things that are right. That's why you ought to be in Bible, in Sunday school. And that's why we have Sunday school. You ought to be involved in Sunday school. You ought to have a time every day that you're setting aside to read God's Word, to study God's Word, having a devotional time every day. When you start getting Jesus into your mind, you'll start thinking right, because you'll be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need a change in our attitude. Secondly, he says, we need a change of actions, or in other words, a change of behavior, a change of behavior. And so we come to verse 25 down to verse 32. We want to begin, first of all, with just verse 30. Verse 30 says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now that verse right there tells us a couple of things. It tells us that the Holy Spirit is in the life of a saved person. So when you trust in Jesus as your holy, as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your life. When you receive Him, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your life. The Bible says that He will dwell with you forever. So as a saved person, think about this. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit goes. Everything you do, the Holy Spirit is present when you do it. I wonder what would happen if our spiritual eyes could translate to our physical eyes the ability to see spiritual things with physical eyes. And I wonder if we could just see Jesus and the Holy Spirit right there with us. Because He is. When you're watching that show on TV, or you're watching that movie, or you're watching something or looking at something on the internet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is right there with you. He's seeing what you're seeing. He's hearing what you're hearing. If you're listening to music that's explicit, you're listening to ungodly music, He's there. He's hearing what you hear. Wherever you go, He is with you, present with you. Do you think if you begin to realize that and truly see, right here is Jesus and the Holy Spirit with me, when whatever I do, whatever I see, whatever I look at, whatever I eat, do you think it would change the way you behave? Most certainly. You think we'd do anything different in the way we acted if we truly realized that the Lord and the Holy Spirit was visibly right there alongside of us? I mean, if this morning you could see Jesus standing right here and you could see the Holy Spirit right here and you could see that in your life when you leave this place, when you go throughout this week, He's right there with you. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, that would change the way a lot of us act, the way a lot of our behavior is in our lives. Everything you do, He sees. And so He's saying, don't grieve the heart of the Holy Spirit. You can break the heart of the Holy Spirit when you keep putting on those rags of the old life and you don't put on the new garments of the new life that are given to you in Jesus Christ. And then He lists some things that saddens the Holy Spirit, those garments that need to be discarded. So look at verse 22. Go back to verse 22, He says, that you need to put off your old self, the way you used to be, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. The former conversation, the former lifestyle. Look at verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Therefore, having put away, he says. So then he just starts naming some of these old rags of your life that you need to get rid of if you're a child of God. He talks about falsehood there in verse 25. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. You see, when we're saved, we need to quit lying. When's the last time you lied? You lied to your husband. You lied to your wife. Kids, you lied to your parents or your teacher. The Bible says that if you're a believer, you need to put that off, put that away, put the falsehood, the lies away. When we're saved, we need to quit lying. And so the reason God says that we don't do that as a believer is because in this world, apart from being saved, that's just the common everyday practice. Half-truths, partial truths, all of that is lies. We have to get rid of the lies. Then he goes on to say, you have to throw off the rotten garment of anger. We're going to talk about all these more in detail later. But verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And then if you look down to verse 31, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So we need to get rid of anger now, because we're saved. Verse 27, he says, and give no opportunity to the devil. Because he's saying, when you are getting angry, not angry for a holy reason, but you're getting angry with somebody because of the way they did something to you or whatever, you're getting angry for the wrong reason, then you are giving the devil a foothold in your life. Notice verse 31 again. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you. So bitterness, what is that? That is anger that's been kept in the heart that you've not dealt with, and it just continues to fester, and it continues to grow, and it continues to spread. Bitterness is hostility that's grown in the heart. You see, understand this. The devil is very smart. Because if he can get you to have a justified grievance and anger in your heart about what you think is an injustice, it will allow roots of bitterness to get into your heart. And because of that, he'll go a long way toward ruining your life as a Christian. So don't let bitterness linger in your heart. You don't hurt anybody but yourself when you do that. Then he talks about wrath. That's an outburst of temper. Anger is like a smoldering fire. He talks about clamor. That's yelling and loud talking. He talks about slander or speaking evil. That's abusive talking to a person. He talks about malice. It's a vicious disposition. You see, all of these little things that go along with anger, Look at all the damage that that causes. So we ought to take that off. Get rid of that in your life. Look at verse 28. Verse 28, he says, let the thief no longer steal. No more stealing. You say, well, I'm a believer. I don't steal. You may not go to the convenience store and pull out a gun and say, give me all your money, or go to the bank and say, I want all the money you got in the safe. But you know, we steal all the time. We steal things from our jobs. We steal time from our employer. We try to fudge, we call it, on our taxes. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God's. And yet so often we're looking for some way that we can get out of things, and we steal. And then he says in verse 29, he says, let no corrupt talking come out of your mouths. It's unreal when you talk to people who profess to be a Christian, who go to a church, and you hear them throughout the week, and you wonder, what in the world? How in the world does that person believe they're a Christian? Because the filth that comes out of their mouth. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. He says, get your language cleaned up as a Christian. There's probably nothing that hurts the testimony of Christians more than the kind of words that you use. You have to give God your mouth. You have to ask God to give you a new set of words. Ask God to give you amens instead of profanity. Ask God to give you glory to His name instead of those things that you say that you ought not to say. No corrupt communication. Ask the Lord to guard your lips. Ask Him to help you to never say something that would bring disrespect on the Lord. You have to get rid of those old garments of your life. It's a process and something we work on constantly as Christians. So ask the help of the Lord constantly. These are things that sadden the Holy Spirit. But also notice the things that gladden the Holy Spirit. Let's put on the things of the new man. Look at verse 32. Be kind, he says, to one another. How attractive to a Christian is the garment of kindness? That just means gentleness. It means goodness. The next thing we're to put on is a garment of tenderheartedness. That means having a soft heart. The longer you live in life, the more tendency it is to get a hard heart, and the more you become skeptical and critical and down on it, looking down on everything and looking at it, things with critical eyes all the time. We ought to ask God every day to put on the new garment of tenderness, and then also to put on the garment of forgiveness. That's one of the hardest things for us to put into practice. And we're going to look at all these things as we go further into this scripture later. Kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. As a Christian is not only forgiven, a Christian is to be forgiving. And you may be saying this morning, but preacher, I can't forgive. You don't know what they did to me. I don't know what they did to you. But I know what we did to Jesus. I know that our sins are responsible for nailing Jesus to that cross on Calvary. If God can forgive us of our greatest sin, then we who have experienced His forgiveness ought to be able to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. So do you see what he's saying here? There's something that as a believer you can do every day of your life that'll renew the new you so that you'll become more and more and more in the image of the one who created you. You are the church. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So don't just say it. Start living it. Live it. Live as a believer in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, that we don't have to be bound in the slavery to sin and its effects anymore. We don't have to live in that position, in that place. We are free in Christ when we come by faith to trust in Jesus. So, Father, I pray that we will live in that freedom. And that's not a freedom to just live whatever way we want. That's a freedom to live in Christ. So help us to live like Christ. Lord, we know that begins in our minds and in our hearts and the thinking. So, Lord, help us to start realizing, what am I thinking? What am I letting into my mind? What is it I'm listening to that I ought not to be listening to? What is it I'm looking at that I ought not to be looking at? Are there some places in my life that I've been going to, or maybe some people that I've been associating with that maybe I don't need to associate with them the way I've been associating with them? Maybe I need to take a step back so that I can be a witness to them of Christ. Father, I pray whatever it is in our lives, Lord, I pray that you would reveal it to us this morning. Lord, if it's in our words, in corrupt communication, our thoughts, if it's in our thoughts that we've been thinking, if it's in the actions that we've been doing, bring all of our sin out into the light of the truth of your word, and help us, Lord, to come to the place to confess it in our lives, to say to you this morning, dear Heavenly Father, I know I have sinned. And I ask you, Lord, this morning to forgive me of my sin. Maybe you're here this morning and you've already trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Call out to him and he will forgive you. But if you're here this morning and you haven't, Lord, I pray that there would be those who would call out to you and say, dear God, I know that I need Jesus as my Savior. I want to be forgiven of all my sin. I want to be forgiven of that burden of guilt that I've been carrying around for so long. Father, I pray this morning they would come. They would call out to you and say, dear God, I confess that sin. I repent of it. I turn away from it. And I ask you, Lord, to fill my heart and my mind with the Holy Spirit. Renew my mind every day so that I will become less and less like what I used to be and more like what you want me to be, more and more like Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, as the Lord lays on your heart, would you come this morning in this invitation? Would you stand? I surrender all, number 275. Johnny's going to come and share our announcements. Don't forget the meal afterwards. Stay and join us. We've got plenty of room, plenty of food. So please join us for that. And don't forget, we'll be doing sign-ups for directories down here at the front.
Pam, would you want to come forward?
For those who may not know me, my name is Ann Smith, and I have the pleasure of being the director of our CDC, Child Development Center, preschool, and daycare. This is a 52-year-old program and ministry. Many are here today as a result, a direct result of that ministry. I am standing before you. We are, as a result of several different circumstances, at an all-time staff low. And so I am asking you, if you know of someone that is good with children and that is in need of, of course, a paid position to supplement income, to please see me. The number to our CDC is on the back of your bulletin. So just please help us get the word out. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Ann. Pastor Matt?
Real quick, parents, on October 9th, as you know, we're headed to the Nashville Area Rescue Mission. I need to know by Wednesday if your child is joining us, so please let me know so you can have that link to fill out for that trip. And also on the 10th, since it's going to be fall break that week, at 9 o'clock on Thursday, I need the youth help and any adults who'd like to help as well to help clean out some stuff around the youth room to help prepare for some of those renovations that are coming. And so that'd be on October 10th at 9 o'clock. And so, and I believe Stan will cook steaks for everybody. I think that's right. So thank you, Stan.
Thanks, Matt. After the service, Pastor Jim will be down by the piano here if you want to sign up for the directory. So you can certainly do that today. And for some of you that don't know, each week we put out a prayer list, and it's usually put out on Wednesday night. So if you have not picked up your weekly prayer list, they're on the table across from the water fountain back here. And if you do pick up one today, I've got three changes that I just want you to be aware of. Carolyn Stone is at home now. Janet Carter is at home now. And Brian says his blood pressure is doing fine now. So those three people maybe have updates from last Wednesday night. And does anyone else have any announcements they want to make this morning? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer then. Heavenly Father, we just humbly come to you in prayer to thank you for this Lord's day and for many, many blessings. We thank you for each person here that has been able to come together this morning. Worship. We want to lift up our prayer concerns, Heavenly Father, those that are we know about and those unspoken in their heart. We certainly want to remember all the hurricane victims, and each and every day we need to pray for and lift up our nation and military personnel around the world, our church, and each other. And may we always be thankful for the privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, and for you hearing our prayer, Heavenly Father. And since shortly we will be gathering for our fifth Sunday meal, just ask that you please bless this food to nourish our bodies and us to your service, Heavenly Father. And we just please bless this food. And once again, thank you for all the many, many blessings. For it is in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen.